This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Yes, we'll get to the Bills stuff very, very briefly this hour. I want to put a final word on this race communism stuff. We'll get to emails, the COVID vaccine cover-up, and so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to once again remind you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So one final word on this race communism stuff, because I got a bunch of emails here. Jesse, I'm so angry about everything happening in South Africa. According to the left, Trump is ambushing the president of South Africa. It's funny you brought up that word, ambushing. Western Lensman, as he often does, put together an amazing montage. You will hear news station after news station. These are different stations, different shows, all using the same word. We're going to discuss what's happening here. What are you actually hearing and why?
The dramatic scene in the Oval Office today, the tense confrontation, President Trump ambushing the president of South Africa.
Next, another Oval Office meltdown, President Trump ambushing the president of South Africa.
President Trump is being accused of conducting something of a diplomatic ambush of South Africa's president in the Oval Office.
To be with you, I'm Katie Turr. President Trump orchestrated another Oval Office ambush today.
Today, Donald Trump meeting with the president of South Africa and attempting to ambush and humiliate that leader.
Zelensky territory, where essentially he was a bit ambushed inside the Oval Office.
Felt like an ambush in there, kind of like the President Zelensky meeting in the Oval Office.
This was an ambush. It was orchestrated.
Cyril Ramaphosa brought his best diplomatic self to this meeting, but nothing could have prepared him for this multimedia ambush.
What started as, to some degree, an ambush.
Well, Katie, I mean, it was an ambush.
Ambush.
It's ambushed. Ambush.
An ambush.
Ambushing.
Ambush. Ambushed inside the Oval Office.
Ambush. Okay. Interesting. So we'll discuss the why that happens in a moment, but what is happening? Because you've heard things like this before. You've heard montages like this before that people put together where all these communists on the news are saying the same thing with the same wording?
The thing that went right was the investment over decades in the basic and clinical biomedical research that allowed us to make a vaccine in unprecedented time of less than a year that turned out to be safe and highly effective.
They are safe and so effective.
We know that vaccines are safe and effective.
The data is so compelling that these vaccines are safe and effective.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick. So it's really quite safe for you, the vaccinated person. It's
safe and effective. They do it all the time. Remember all the hallmarks.
The FBI is now investigating whether those alleged Hunter Biden emails are actually connected to a larger foreign intelligence operation.
They may be related to a foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence operation.
For all we know, these emails are made up.
The information found on the laptop may be part of a Russian disinformation campaign.
Part of a Russian disinformation effort.
Described by many intelligence experts as having hallmarks.
All the hallmarks of a Russian.
Russian disinformation.
Disinformation campaign.
This is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
What's happening there? Whenever you see every single news organization use the exact same wording to describe anything at all, here's what you have to understand every time. It's a lie. Whatever they're saying is a lie, and they know it's a lie. Therefore, they're all repeating it. They're repeating it loudly because you can make people believe lies with enough repetition. They get together, they decide on the lie, and then they push that lie as hard and fast as they possibly can. Whenever every single media organization is using the exact same talking point, you know they're lying. And I say that not for the past, for the future, because they will do this again, because they do it all the time. Chris and I could sit and play for you montage after montage after montage of this happening on every single issue. What about the election? And no, Chris, you don't have to dig up anymore. What about the election? The safest and fairest. It was the safest and fairest. We could all agree it was safe and fair, free and fair, safe and oh, you have it, Chris? Go ahead, fire
the reality
away.
Is this was the most secure election we've ever had, and it was one of the most well-run elections we've ever had.
You know, a lot of this is just really a strategy to erode public confidence in what was a very well-run, secure election.
And you see in this case that we have the safest, most secure election in Michigan's history.
You know what transparency would be?
Yeah,
not
we got secure. It was secure. It was definitely secure. It's most secure, very secure, totally secure. That's how I knew they were lying, and I knew they stole the election. I didn't know until then, because I've learned after enough time watching these people, when they're repeating the exact same thing, it's a lie. It's an outright lie every single time. That's the what. Now let's go to the why. Why is the American media, why are they so upset about Donald Trump showing a South African dictator? That's what that guy really is. Showing a South African dictator and showing the American media the obvious oppression of white people by the South African government. Because that they're upset. That's why they all decided to agree on this exact same wording in the lie. What upsets them about it? Well, you see, when you've worked as long and as hard as these people have to paint white people as the devil of history, everything is white people's fault. White people are the source of all evil. Any other skin color is saintly, imperfect, and they've never done anything wrong. They've just been oppressed by evil whitey. And once you've achieved what they've achieved, ingraining that way of thinking into so many people in society, you simply cannot afford white people of any stripe, of any nation, to actually be victims of some sort of a crime. That's why the media won't report on white-on-black crime in the country. If they have to, they'll bend over backwards to avoid any actual details of the thing. It's why over there in Germany, some crazy Islamic nutball goes and stabs as many people as possible. His race, his ethnicity, his name will be protected at any cost. The other people, if anything, they'll be blamed for the whole thing. You see, they have put into place a system that must be protected. And that system is white people evil, everyone else saintly. It's really, honestly, as I said before, you know, I actually don't support taking in any refugees from South Africa, because I don't support currently taking in any refugees from anywhere, not one. We are full. Get them out, everybody. However, as I said before, I'm thrilled Trump did it, because, wow, did it expose the game we just discussed. And the game is simply white people are the enemy. They shall be smashed, and they deserve to be smashed anywhere you find them. Everyone else, perfect. White people, enemy. And it works. It works. It's extremely effective on people. And maybe the wildest thing about all this race communism is 99% of the people who practice it don't even know they're communists. They don't have any idea. They think they're civil rights fighters, or they think they're just fighting for justice, or that. But really, they're race communists. It's what they are. All right. Now, Let's talk about this.
On this vote, the yeas are 215, the nays are 214, with one answering present. The bill is passed. USA, USA.
Big, beautiful bill passed Congress with the lamest USA chant ever. Caroline Leavitt talked about it today.
This one big, beautiful bill will implement President Trump's Make America Great Again agenda by delivering the largest tax cut in American history for middle-class families, the working class, and small businesses. The one big, beautiful bill fulfills President Trump's promises of no tax on tips, which was applauded today by the CEO of Uber. No tax on...
Yeah, we got all that. We'll discuss it briefly, and I'm going to tell you why it's going to be so brief in a moment. Then we'll do some emails and move on to some COVID stuff. Let me talk to you about saving money, because as inflation continues, let's be honest, it's not gone. You know it's not gone. Saving money is important. Saving money is always important. There's a lot of reasons to switch to Pure Talk. Saving money may be the top reason. It's not my top reason, but it's certainly towards the top, I'll tell you that. I used to get our cell phone bill from T-Mobile, and I was just floored. I was floored. I remember the night I sat down with Aub and asked, do we need all this coverage? Like, can we drop a line? That kind of crazy pricing. Our bill got cut in half when we switched to Pure Talk. And my coverage got better. Better, not worse. Switch to Pure Talk, man. It takes 10 minutes or less. You're on the phone with an American who speaks English. They make it painless. Your bill goes down. There's no reason not to switch. None. Their CEO fought for this country in the jungles of Vietnam. That's why they only do patriotic things. Never Black Lives Matter stuff. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Let's get to some of the emails to clear out some room for tomorrow. Jesse, the main purpose of the tariffs is to bring jobs back to the USA that went overseas, to China in particular. That should be the conservative theme instead of falling for the Democrats' cost narrative. Okay. Well, let's talk about that. That's certainly worthy of a discussion. First, let's understand motivations here. I want American jobs back here. I want American manufacturing back here. And it's not only for national security reasons, although that's a nice sell, and it's true. I want American jobs here because I like Americans. And I want Americans to have good jobs, good careers. And no, not that you have to go to college for 19,000 years to get one. You used to be able to have a real nice job, a nice career in this country without that. And I believe in that. So let's be crystal clear on that. Two, let's be crystal clear on this. There are things that you believe and things that I believe that we're never going to be able to sell to the American public. And I get that. In fact, the bill is going to come into play here. Look, you know what? Actually, the bill's perfect. We'll come back to the tariffs because I was going to finish up my thoughts on the bill. Thomas Massie got up today. He's the one who stood against the bill, you know, it passed the House. And Massie said this.
Well, I'd love to stand here and tell the American people, we can cut your taxes and we can increase spending and everything's going to be just fine. But I can't do that because I'm here to deliver a dose of reality. This bill dramatically increases deficits in the near term, but promises our government will be fiscally responsible 5 years from now. Where have we heard that before? How do you bind a future Congress to these promises? This bill is a debt bomb ticking. Congress can do funny math, fantasy math, if it wants, but bond investors don't. And this week, they sent us a message. Moody's downgraded our credit rating, and the bond investors who buy our debt and finance our debt.
There are things we can't sell to the American people. And I told you I was going to tell you something, so let me tell it to you now. I'm not sure how often I'm going to rant on spending anymore. I am passionate about this because I understand what happens to countries when the debt becomes too much, and it's horrific. I will always be passionate about it. But I can't make people care. I can't. People don't care. You may care, but the masses don't care. And it doesn't matter how much I yell and scream about inflation or whatever. And it's not just the left. Don't say it's just the left. The right doesn't care either. The right does not care. The GOP doesn't care. The left doesn't care. Every time there's a new president, they destroy, absolutely blow through the budget. They blow through the treasury. Every president increases spending. It just goes up, 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 up without end. Obama spent more, and then Trump spent more than Obama, and then Biden spent more than Trump, and now the second Trump is going to spend more, and there's never, ever, ever any stop to it, and the right is not angry about it. The right pretends to be angry about it, but they actually don't want to cut any spending. And you know what I came to the conclusion, and maybe I'm just being pouty and whiny right now, I came to the conclusion this morning that I just need to stop talking about the debt and stop caring about the debt. I actually got this text from a friend, a good friend, a little while ago, and well, I'll read it to you verbatim. What did he say? Nobody is serious about the debt. We just party until the debt bomb goes off. A waste of breath to pretend anyone wants to stop it anymore. I'm going to come back to the tariffs, okay? We are going to come back. I'm not changing the subject. But the budget talk led me perfectly into the debt talk. I don't know how often you're going to hear me yell about it on the show, not because I don't care, but because people don't care. I believe, and I don't want to sound too black-pilled and heavy here on a Thursday, I believe the United States of America is going to continue to spend insane amounts of money, no matter who's in charge, and it will not stop until there is a crisis that we can't talk or threaten our way out of, and then the pain will be unimaginable. And the only thing I'm going to have when that day comes is, I told you so. That's all I'm going to have. And that won't even feel good. None of it will feel good. It's going to be awful, and nothing will stop it. People don't care. The American people want their stuff. They want whatever, a check, a new Air Force base, a paved highway. They want, the American people want their stuff. They want brand new ships. They want Navy ships. I'm not even saying all the stuff is bad, but they want stuff there's no money for. The money is gone. But why waste my breath? Republicans don't care. Democrats don't care. Everyone pretends when the other guy is spending. When Democrats get into office and they're sending all your money to queer up kids, then we act like we're scared. Then we act like we're scared of the debt and we're upset about the whole thing. We got to stop their spending. And vice versa, Republicans get elected and they hand out large quantities of money. This doesn't even cut the Green New Deal. It cuts portions of it, they say. Hundreds of millions of dollars for the Inflation Reduction Act still in here. You know why it's in there? Because the Republican districts want the money. Why waste my breath? How many of those Republicans who signed up for Green New Deal money, how many will lose their election because of it? Zero. Not one. Why waste my breath? Now, this goes back to the tariff talk. We'll tie this in. You said, stop talking about the costs. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Do not forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jewish producer Chris was asking me during the break, what happens during this debt crisis that I'm not going to talk about anymore? When foreign entities and domestic entities decide they're going to stop buying American debt because American debt is too risky to buy, the world moves off of the reserve currency. What happens is your standard of living will drop in ways that seem unimaginable. Let me paint a little picture here. Let's say we're just going to use very even numbers that are not accurate, but we're going to use even numbers for simplicity's sake, okay? So let's use this. We, as a household, you and me, we're a family, right? Hey, look, you're my brother or something. Let's not make it weird. Or my sister or something, whatever. We're a family, but we live in the same house. We bring $100,000 a year together, right? But we have credit cards. We have pretty good credit score. So we don't just have credit cards. You know what we each have? American Express Platinums. You ever seen one of these things? An American Express Platinum. It's like super thick. It's like this piece of metal. And get this. There's no limit. We have such good credit scores that there is no limit on our credit card. None. If you want to walk into Chevy tomorrow and slap down a credit card to buy a Corvette, they may hit you for some credit card fees, but it'll go through. So we have no limit because our credit is so good. And that kind of spending power can be dangerous, right? Now, I already said we bring in $100,000 a year, but here's the problem. Yeah, that pays for the house and a couple cars, but really, really, really fallen in love with San Diego. The weather is really nice. We're going to start going out there 3-4 times a year. We'll spend a week at a really nice hotel. Drinks, steaks. Long story short, we're putting $50,000 a year on the credit card because it exceeds the $100,000 we make. All right. But there's other things that go into that 50 grand, you see? I bought a new car. Do it on the credit card. New shoes, credit card. Wife wanted some new earrings, credit card. The 100,000, it's paying the basics, the cars and everything. Now, we have done this for 10 years. For 10 years, we've been flying to San Diego, buying new earrings, buying new cars, putting it on the credit card. But the problem is, those bills are piling up and the bills are piling up. And at some point in time, you can't pay your credit card bill to American Express anymore. The bills have gotten too high. The debt has gotten too high. And you have to call Amex and you have to have that terrible conversation. Hey, is there anything we can do? I can't pay anymore. Well, there may be things you can do, but you're not going to have an American Express Platinum anymore. They're going to cancel that credit card. Now let's think about our household. We've been living like this for 10 years. For 10 years, we've been going to San Diego. I love San Diego. They have SeaWorld. For 10 years, it's been pretty new dangly earrings. New cars, new shoes, new guns for Jesse. 10 years. Now, that all stops. Not only that, it's actually worse. Because maybe you're thinking, well, now you're going to have to live within your $100,000 a year means. Oh, no, you don't understand. You just piled up all that debt that still has to be paid off. Now, instead of living on $150,000 a year, now you're going to have to find a way to live on $50,000 a year because the other 50 is going to have to go to pay off the debt you just paid. As a country, here's what it looks like. We spend trillions, with a T, more than we take in. Now we spend trillions more every single year. What this has done is it has artificially inflated our standard of living as mass quantities of government money is injected into the money, into the markets, and everything. We are only allowed to do this because the Amex Platinum hasn't been canceled yet. That Amex Platinum is the world and domestic, foreign and domestic, buying our debt. They were always buying our debt because our credit score was so good. We were a guarantee that American debt will always pay off in the end. When they decide that's too risky, they stop buying the debt. When they stop buying the debt, everything in your life changes. It doesn't sound personal. It will be very personal. You think inflation is bad now? What do you think government's going to do when that day comes? They're going to try to print their way out of it like every other government does, thus destroying the value of your money. You may think you'll have to live within your means. No, 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 no. You're going to live well below your means because your money's going to go less far. And all this stuff, I shouldn't even be bothering talking about it because nobody gives a crap. Nobody cares. Congress doesn't care. President doesn't care. Nobody cares. Everybody wants to do things. I want to do things. No, give me more money. I want to do things. I can't not do things. I'm here. Let me do things. I want to go to SeaWorld. I love San Diego. I'm used to it now. Can't we go to San Diego? Can't we? I mean, can't we build a brand new Navy?
The one thing the president truly understands is in order to be a superpower, you need to have a Navy. If you don't control the sea, you're not a superpower. So to me, the reason America is a superpower, there's three reasons. There's the U.S. Navy, there's the U.S. dollar, and there's the American capitalist system and the American people. Right? And that's why we have it.
I'm not even going to kill that guy or say he said anything wrong there. That's John Phelan. He's the Secretary of the Navy. And I'm not going to say Trump is wrong for wanting a powerful Navy. He's not necessarily wrong. But how are we paying for that? What money? We're going to have the biggest, beautiful, most powerful Navy patrolling the shores with no fuel in it. Patrolling the shores of a country in a debt crisis you can't imagine. So let me bring this all the way back home to the guy who said we need to stop the Democrat cost narrative of tariffs. This is not a pro or anti-tariff argument I'm making, but let me get this out of the way right out of the bat, right out of the gates here. You cannot sell higher costs to the American people. They will not buy it. Not for any length of time. You cannot. The communists have tried this forever. Jimmy Carter tried it too. Hey, just put on a sweater if you're cold. It does not work. The most impossible sell in politics is selling people why they should do with less, why their life should get worse. I don't know how all the tariff stuff and trade deal stuff is going to work out, and I don't want to pretend like I do, and I don't want to act like I'm against the whole thing. That's not what I'm saying. But don't think costs. Don't think that's some kind of Democrat narrative. You cannot sell a lower standard of living to people under any circumstances in no country. If you're in Korea, Russia, America, Zimbabwe, I don't care where it is, you cannot stand up in front of the people and tell them to do with less and expect them to be happy. It does not work that way. It doesn't work that way. Human beings don't voluntarily reduce their standard of living. It will not happen. All right? All right. Now, I do want to address the bringing jobs back to America. That's bringing jobs back. How do we bring these jobs back? On top of, you know, putting in things like tariffs and things like that. What else do we do? Let's discuss that. Before we discuss that, speaking of America, did you know that Byrna is American? We've never actually talked about that. Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A, you know, the compact launcher, their newest thing, 4.07 inches long. It's the size of a smartphone, right in your shorts, right in your purse, right in your pants. Carry something on you that you can stop a bad man with at all times. Can you imagine the terror of getting to your car and seeing a bad man standing there ready to hurt you? How are you going to stop him? What's your plan? Scream? Pull out your Byrna launcher and shoot him in the chest. He will live. It's legal in all 50 states. No permit, no background check. You didn't take a life. He'll want to die because the tear gas ball is going to hurt really bad, but he'll live. And did you know These things are hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Did you know that? I love these guys. Go to Byrna.com/Jesse. That's B-Y. Byrna.com/Jesse. You want to try one? By the way, you can go try one for free. They have places you can try one. Just go look up their stores. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Do not worry. We still have more than an hour left. I mean, a little bit more than an hour left. But remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We'll get to the COVID stuff and in a few. And I want to get to some more emails. But I just want to address this final point. It was an email about tariffs and stuff like that, and it was good. But it was about the jobs, how we need these American jobs back. Because we do. We need the American jobs back. We can never, I don't care, tariffs, no tariffs, whatever. We can never create the kind of jobs we used to have in this country while simultaneously making the business environment awful. It doesn't work that way. It's not humanly possible. You're trying to force something that cannot be forced. I am not saying we need to go to slave wages, or I don't believe in that at all. I'm not saying stuff like that. But you cannot simultaneously have endless labor laws, endless environmental laws, while also bringing back American jobs, American manufacturing in the way you used to have it. I know you might strike a trade deal to build a factory here or there, and I'm not complaining about that stuff. I want that stuff. I want those jobs back. But part of the reason the Rust Belt turned into the Rust Belt is we allowed American Democrats to make America not hospitable to businesses. China, of course, pounced on this. Granted, they were lying. But China, of course, pounced on this, and they told all those American businesses, hey, you know who doesn't have an EPA? Me. Come on over here. I'm not going to send in an inspector to make sure you're not putting, well, we tested the CO2 levels. You're not getting that here in China. Come make your shoes over here. And American businesses said, you know what? I'm going overseas. Until that changes, we will not get significant lasting change. Bringing back American manufacturing, if you want to do it permanently, it won't come from a trade deal or a tariff. Eliminate the EPA. You really want to bring back these jobs? Take the EPA, fire everybody there, reduce their budget to zero, demo the building to the ground, pass a law through Congress eliminating it completely, and voila, American manufacturing jobs will begin to appear again. But you cannot determine every species, every animal species is endangered, every sort of factory output, no matter what it is, factory waste, whether it's in the air or the ground, it's all super toxic that you're either not allowed to put out or you need a special permit. And I'm not here saying that we should go back to the days where you just dump the factory waste in the river and pray for the best. That's the last thing in the world I want. I believe in protecting the environment. But you cannot have regulation after regulation, permit after permit, tax after fine after fee after tax after fine after fee, and then eliminate all that red tape by a tariff. It doesn't work that way at all. Make the business environment welcoming or the jobs don't come back. Not permanently anyway. All right, we'll get to the COVID stuff, which is a little bit ugly. So we'll wait on that. Jesse. The other night we were having dinner with old friends. The topic of naming our children, who are all adults, and how we decided on those names came up. May I ask how you and Ob chose James and Luke? Is it after family or biblical in nature? Luke is a great name. Sounds like a John Wayne character. Yes. Well, no, it's not family. We wanted... Look, we're both simple people. Very, very simple, basic people. and we wanted, it's just a personal preference. You know, I'm not saying everyone has to be like me. We wanted, yes, we wanted them to be biblical. So yes, James and Luke is biblical. New Testament, Chris. And we wanted them to be basic, direct guy names. That's what we wanted. We debated Sam, Jake, you know, basic, direct guy names. That's what we wanted, and that's why we chose the names. And it was actually fairly easy. Hey, Jesse, longtime listener from the Blood Red Alabama. I'm not sure I've ever heard your take on this. I've always believed that Lincoln was a tyrant, Abraham Lincoln, for forcing seceding states back into the Union through war. It's a spicy take, I know. My question, had the Confederacy won their independence in the War of Northern Aggression, he said civil war in commie language, could one argue that the Union may not have had the military strength to make an impact in World War I and World War II and perhaps sitting it out entirely? We appreciate what you, Chris, and Corey do for America. It says his name is Luke, actually. Oh, and he has his first grandbaby on the way. How about that? He and his wife had their first grandbaby. That's freaking cool. Congratulations. Okay, so the question is, what if Lincoln didn't force the South back into the Union? Does America even get involved in WW1 or WW2? I think that would be the pro-Lincoln argument. And hear me out. This is what I mean. I'm not making that pro-Lincoln argument, but if someone was to make the pro-Lincoln argument, here's what they'd say. Well, that's why Lincoln insisted that America stay together by any means. Lincoln took the entire Constitution and he wiped his butt with it and he threw it in the trash can in order to force the South to stay in the Union because he believed that anything and everything was permissible in pursuit of that goal. If you have to abuse, if you have to violate the Constitution, if you have to start a war, if you have to kill, no matter what, the South must stay in the Union. And especially in Southern circles, everyone listening in the South right now, they're saying, yeah, that's because Lincoln was a dirty tyrant. And that's actually very fair. I'm not debating that. However, Lincoln would tell you if he was alive today, well, do you enjoy America being the biggest, most powerful country on earth? They wouldn't have been if I had let half the country split off. I'm just playing devil's advocate. That's what he would say. It's a fascinating argument. I love talking civil war and stuff like that. It always makes people mad. I'll have a bunch of angry emails about it tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Pour in your hate. Totally fine. Doesn't bother me at all. But make sure you also pour some relief factor into yourself. Even though I guess you can't pour it because it's not a liquid, but either way, you understand what I mean. You need to get some relief factor in your life. You live with pain and you shouldn't. You live with pain and you don't have to. Pain is optional. Relief factor is drug-free. It is a supplement. I want to stress that because you know how I feel about drugs. It is a supplement. It has a unique formula of natural ingredients. The longer you take it, the more it builds up in your body, the more the pain that plagues you goes away. Try it. All I'm asking is try it. Trying it costs $19.95. That's 3 weeks of it. If it doesn't work, if your pain isn't better, just don't ever call back. You're out $19.95. That's it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Let's deal with what Ron Johnson and the COVID stuff. It's ugly. Hang on.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.